Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, it's the Machen Pajak podcast. We are back together in the
Mate
same room.
And Pajak in the podcast.
Yeah, I know, literally.
And in your ears.
Absolutely, exactly what it says on the tin. Pretty much. Yeah, yeah. We've had a bit of ships in the night kind of syndrome in recent weeks, but now we're here. We're back. We probably will take a little bit of a break over the coming weeks. We're going to mix things up a little bit, but we thought before we do, let's get back in the room. Let's catch up. Let's see what's going on. And look, as ever, let's kick things off with The Purge. Anything particularly you said? You did say to me you're in a really good mood at the moment. Actually, no, maybe you didn't say really. You said like, maybe it was like, I think I'm okay.
I'm decent.
I'm fine.
I think I'm fine. Yeah, there's not really much pissing me off at the moment. How can anything really piss me off? We're 6 times champions of Europe. I mean, that's kind of it, isn't it? I mean, do we need to purge anything right now?
Yeah, 100%.
What do you need to purge?
So, because that's fine. I'm done with
that. Is it Boris Johnson?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I can't.
We're going to do a short show, weren't we?
Oh, my God,
we'll leave Boris until we have a long show.
He's a fucking gobshite. He is a massive gobshite.
Do you know what he reminds me of?
Wurzel Gummidge.
No. Do those Instagram girls who pretend to be thick so that you like them?
Right.
That?
Yeah.
Except he is thick, but it looks like he's pretending to be thick.
He is one of the most dangerous individuals walking the planet at the moment. And I don't mean in like Chuck Norris kind of way. Okay. I mean like, no, careful. I mean more like, because he's crafted this persona, this image of him being a bit daft and a bit, wacky old Boris. Like you've got, like your crazy old, you know, racist uncle. That's what he's like, and it's disarming. It makes people not see him as a threat, but he is a horrible
human
being.
Yeah, exactly. That's all it is, and yeah. I can't believe that people can't see through it.
No, because people believe what they're told, and people are indoctrinated one way or the other. And I'm sure people who take umbrage at all this will think we are, and vice versa. And maybe that's the case, of course, but I don't know. Some of the stuff that he's come out. Look, and we all exist in a world where, you know, past quotes can come back to bite you, and you can change as a person. I see no hint of any remorse in this man whatsoever. He very much has his opinions, his ethos, his goals, his beliefs, all those things, and he's one of those type of characters who is totally bought into his own hype and will staunchly go to bat to defend anything that he said in the past.
He can't answer a question. And listen, loads of politicians are the same. From both sides, you know what I mean? But this guy is a career sort of... He just passes the book constantly and shields and moves it away and talks something else. You just have to watch him on television. I mean, anytime a question is asked of him, he's the worst of the worst.
He is looking at the current situation, how the world is and all the Trump stuff and how Farage has presented himself, and he is laughing his fucking blonde-pubed cock off because he knows you can lie through your... He learned it, you know, he was part of that whole £350 million to the NHS Brexit bandwagon bullshit, and he's realised that you could say whatever the fuck you want for as long as you want and whatever, and if people get upset by it, you just deny it. Or you swear, and eventually people forget. No one holds you to task over anything anymore, especially in politics. No, you know, they should be, you know, after all, after that debacle, look, he disappeared. You know, they pulled him out of the limelight, and him ended up toward, you know, in power, not just Prime Minister, but ended up as the leader of the Tory party, was the most obvious thing in the fucking history of the world, because he'd been angling for it. He's been driving towards that for years, and him pulling himself out of the running and the limelight a few years ago was all just part of the process.
But it was May bringing him back in, wasn't it?
Yeah, but it's all... But
her idea was he was supposed to go in there, prove that he was such a fucking buffoon that couldn't run anything, and then she could have sacked him quite happily. But the problem is, he's deflected for too long and too well that he just keeps passing the buck.
He's just...
And, you know, and he's unfortunately, he's outlived even her in a political sense.
Yeah. Unfortunately, he's just... People don't pay attention to the fine print anymore. So people aren't really interested. People know who he is. Like, they had the debates, and I swear the debates, because there was nothing to be gained by me watching the leadership debates, because not one of them is going to make me feel happy about my life. So, but, like, look at those faces and names. You're not, I mean, even without, if you're not going to do your research, which people don't, because that's how we've ended up with Brexit, you're going to go on a cursory glance, and ultimately you're just going to go into you're going to want the people you recognize more than the people that you don't, unfortunately, because that's how simple things, well,
the problem is I think a lot of the time we make these snap judgments, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
And we judge people by their looks and by the colour of their skin, and whether you like it or not, we make these blink decisions. A great book, Malcolm Gladwell, Blink, I talk about it all the time. It tells you to understand why you thin slice, why you can look at something and you feel like you know something, and there are good thin slicing and there's bad thin slicing. And the problem that we've got at the moment is somebody like a Jeremy Hunt probably would have been, for Tories, a very good Tory party leader in a different time. Mm-hmm. But what people are looking for right now is a different type of leadership. And you looked at that panel who was sat there, and who was the one that looked different to all the others? Yeah. That guy who looks like he's just been in the pub with me last week, yeah, and all that type of stuff. That's what Boris Johnson looks like. Yeah. He looks like somebody who's a completely different political entity, yeah, to what we're seeing. Now, the problem is, he's the worst of the lot, mm-hmm, but he just so happens to have stepped himself slightly to the side, and everybody seems to be on the bandwagon. It's mental.
And you know what the worst thing about it, that absolute fucking gobshite David Cameron coming out of the woodwork all of a sudden. Where the fuck have you been, David? Where have you been, you utter knob scallop? Dropped the country into complete disarray and then fucking liked it for 3 years, and then he's coming back up giving his two pence and stuff. Fuck off, you massive knobhead. This wasn't even what I was going to purge, Chris. I was going to purge just to lighten the tone, because I can't. Right, the reaction around the Women's World Cup. Because here's the thing, right? I've watched about 4 seconds of the Women's World Cup, and that's not because I have a strong opinion one way or the other. I follow the Liverpool men's team, and I follow occasionally like major international tournaments, the Euros, World Cup, or whatever. But I'm on my it's my summer holidays. I've switched off from all football altogether. I'm trying to spend time with my family, so more football. Trying to justify watching football in my off time. It's not gonna happen. So I'm fine. But I've got no opinion on whether. If I had time, I probably would watch a bit more of it. I'd watch more of AFCON. I'd watch more of Copa America. It's the people who take to social media to post things like, and you go on about a pay gap when they watch it, or they go on to slaughter the quality of women's football. It's like, mate, who's asked? What kind of fucking weird human being do you have to be? Why are you watching it for the start? You know, if you don't like it, don't watch it. You know, it's a common mantra across life. But it's people who actively go out there and go, like, you know, women are shit at football, blah, blah, blah. Women aren't shit at football. But also, no one sat there saying that the level of the women's game is at the same level as the peak of the men's game. It's not, because it's got, what, decades and decades to go and catch up in terms of all the resources, the coaching, the training, the facilities, all of that stuff that comes with it. It's miles off. I don't watch conference footy and go, this is shit. it's conference footy. You know, it is what it is. You either enjoy it or you don't. And I, you know, some of
the thing
really
is, Don Paul, you look at it and you think to yourself, I don't mind as long as the sport is competitive. Mm. It doesn't matter the level. Like two conference teams going against each other in a competitive game of something. Mm. Is a competitive game of football. Yeah. I'm fine with that. I actually disagree that the level's poor anyway. Yeah. I've only watched the England-Japan game, so people will have watched more games than me. I thought the triangles and stuff like that England were playing were absolutely superb, when all I'd heard in the build-up to that Japan game was that they were the passing team and they were going to be superb. England were fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely brilliant. And it was just like watching football. And guess what? It's just fucking football.
It is,
you know what I mean?
Football.
It's mad.
Yeah, I know. I just, all those things, I mean, some of it's real, because again, this is the society we live in, where people with just senselessly the kind of opinions that you would never vocalise, because if you vocalise them out loud, someone with a sense of rationality would go, shut up, you tit, and you'd never say it again, because that's how you're meant to learn about, you know, life and the world, is by being in physical, you know, proximity to normal people. Because of social media, it means that you've got a platform for saying moronic things and then absolutely no recourse to learn anything better. So the casual sexism that gets getting, or the overt sexism, again, the people who do it because they know the reaction they're going to get, just the worst, just the absolute worst. I keep boiling down to it. If you care about something, boss, and I hate the fact that people just like to go on and they see it's popular because it's permeating into people's timelines, and they feel like you need to come out like, I watched 30 games live on the telly last season, therefore I'm perfectly in a situation to judge the quality. And the people who are like, they should be getting back in the kitchen, oh my god, like, it's what? It's not even funny. Like, it's not, like, you know, everyone has those moments in their own little private circles where you share an inappropriate joke amongst your friends and you might get a little laugh here and there. It's the most basic, oh my god, yeah, it drives me to despair. Absolutely drives me to despair. I'm made up that the Women's World Cup's getting some brilliant attention. You're getting to see some boss plays, getting to see some decent quality football. Okay, the levels are up and down depending on the nation and what their resources have been, but also in terms of the coverage and all that kind of stuff.
Do you know what I learned out watching the Women's World Cup? That the rules have changed in football, that you don't have to pass it out of the area as a goalkeeper anymore.
Oh, do you not know about this?
No, I have no idea. Yeah. No idea. I was happy then. I was like, why do the women get to do that?
Yeah.
Why do the women get to do that?
One,
I was like, that's boss.
They've changed the goalkeeper one, haven't they? So for penalties. So, because they went to change it, so you couldn't move. You've never been able to move off your line, by the way. But then it's just so you couldn't move along your line and you couldn't make contact with the post. It's bollocks. They've made an amendment now, haven't they? Which is great. Which, let's be honest, if it's done that, these tournaments, and throw this in with like the Confederations Cup and all those other random international tournaments where they trial these things out before it comes to the football that I care about, you know, great. Because if they've established that this is a shit idea beforehand, Liverpool don't win the Champions League in 2005 if Jerzy Dudek is made to stand still and not come off his line. He saves like two of those penalties because about 2 metres off his goal line before the ball's even kicked. But yeah, there's a few mad rules. I think maybe we'll do some a bit on closer to the start of the season, but it's bombers. That passing out the area thing.
My page is probably, why do people think the transfer window has to be exciting? Well, like, I've seen this so often on Redmen videos, on Twitter, and it's like, it's not exciting. It shouldn't be, should it? Should it be? I don't know. Are we at that stage where football has to excite you for 12 months a year now?
Yeah, 24 hours a day.
I mean, is this what we're at now? That, like, hang on a minute, it's not exciting enough? Yeah. Hang on a minute, lad. Like, it's fucking June still, for a start.
Yeah.
You know, the transfer window's been open. Yeah, we're not allowed to register players. All the big leagues around Europe, the other big leagues, their transfer windows haven't opened.
Everyone's
yet. The most exciting
tournament
thing, and I put this on Twitter, of the last transfer window was Firmino, because we didn't bore ourselves beforehand.
Yeah.
I mean, Fekir, if he'd have signed, I'd have hated him.
Yeah.
Because all I'd have heard all summer long was fucking his name.
Yeah.
And then as soon as he'd signed, I'd be like, oh my God, Fekir, you better be fucking good. Because if you're shit and I've had to put up with your name and speak about you every day for the last whatever feels like my life, my head would be pissed.
See, I think it was 10 times worse because Liverpool didn't sign him. We then had the next 8 months of people talking about him like he was this messianic figure who was the Kenny Dalglish, the second coming, who was going to guide Liverpool to all conquering and glory. But I get you the point. Funnily enough, I was talking about this yesterday. it's because social media has is a knock-on effect of the 24-hour news cycle, and people look for whatever it is. During the football season, you do become addicted, you know, and it becomes a massive part of your life. So there's always news, there's always stuff, there's always to react to, and people who don't necessarily have people they face to face they can talk to about it. Twitter's a great outlet for it, YouTube comments, etc. So they go on there for there to have someone to engage with on these topics. When the football season ends, bumf. If you're not into another sport, so say you're like me, and you're not into any other particular type of football or any other really into any other type of sport. But this is a massive hot thing in your life. For me, it's a blessed relief to not have loads of football to talk about. I'm made up. But if that's a big part of your life and you don't have other interests, well, you've just got this hole. And what's happened now? The transfer window has been hyped up to be this thing. So you've just got constant conversation. I'm seeing people start questioning the players and start questioning this and this. It's like, honestly, have a holiday. Just have a break. Just have a break from it all.
Try other sports. That's what I do.
Go to Fick, go to Flix. Try some new telly series. That's what I would get a new game. Get a new PlayStation game. Do whatever. Have a break. It's fucking exhausting.
And it's you know what? We're getting into that point of the year now where it's going to get worse. And I'm already pissed off and it's barely open. You know, the season's ended 3 weeks ago. Liverpool are European champions and I'm pissed off with people fucking going on about transfers already.
Yeah.
You know, and then we're gonna have Jim White back on our screens every day soon.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a clock in the corner of Sky Sports counting down to deadline day's window slamming shut.
Absolutely.
Because that's what it does.
Boom.
And more Jim White. And more Jim White. And more Jim White. And then there's going to be fellas for Sky Sports stood outside grounds with the Walking Dead behind them waiting for a crumb of evidence of a transfer.
Yeah.
And a purple dildo sighting. This is just fucking ridiculous.
But
it's
not
football
even
that I like.
Yeah, not even anymore, because it's now this uber sanitised version because of the purple dildo where they're all hidden behind the walls in the training camps and all that kind of stuff. So there's not even any of that. It doesn't even build up towards anything interesting. And now, of course, it ends before the season starts, which is fine, and blah, 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 blah. The thing that's where I'm fine with it, it's not actually stressing me out in the slightest, is because Liverpool don't need to buy anyone particularly. It'd be nice if they did, and Liverpool, yeah, would make a case they'd beat the fire. If I was an Arsenal fan, or a United fan, or a Chelsea fan, or double to a Chelsea fan, because it's just like literally being pressed up. It's like Charlie Bucket being pressed up against the window, looking at the Wonka bars, going, "Are they? Love one of them. Wouldn't mind a golden ticket, mate." But, you know, all these clubs who were desperate for signings, we're all right. We won the European Cup. We got 97 points in the league. Even if the worst were to happen, we'll all be fine. But, yeah, you can see it all, the anxiety and the stress and all that. I'm watching Mark Goldbridge, bless him, reacting to things and them talking about spending £80 million on Harry Maguire. And I'm sat back laughing my tits off because we don't have to worry about any of those things.
It feels like we've clawed ourselves out of that bracket now. Yeah. And we're looking at Real Madrid and Barcelona and what they're doing.
Harry Maguire. Imagine if they spent £80 million on Harry Maguire. He's fine. He's a good defender.
Yeah, we were talking about it on the Reds News show on the website for Redmen. And I actually have City have been linked with him as well.
Yeah.
And I think that if Harry Maguire goes to Manchester United, he flops. And if Harry Maguire goes to Manchester City, he's absolutely sound.
Yeah, and perfectly fine. Yeah, he's just a defender, isn't he? He's a good Premier League defender. But yeah, all this stuff I find really, really amusing because, again, from the first time getting to look and laugh at it all, I mean, I get to be interested in the European markets for the first time in ages. Real Madrid's, Barcelona's, Bayern Munich's business is my business. Great. Love that. Got an interest
they're
in that.
They're all coming at the King, aren't they, next season? You know what I mean?
Trying to take shots. And trying to knock out Carlo. Yeah, exactly. And then everyone else that's not Man City, it's like they're nowhere near Liverpool. And it's just watching them pay these super, super inflated fees for players who, let's be honest, particularly Man United, who haven't got a fucking clue what to do. They've got no...
That video of me and Housen is going to go mental if they sign Harry Maguire for £80 million.
100%. Can't wait. Can't wait. Let's move on. We've obviously said we're gonna mix things up in the coming weeks. We promised that we were gonna do loads of interesting, exciting things, and we've just been doing the podcast, which has been great. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. Thought we'd have a little bit of a chin wag over what we kind of want to do. We've had a few of these chats and conversations, and I thought, well, I wanted to whet people's appetite for just what's in our heads. How much of this stuff we're ever gonna make, I've no idea. But we're gonna try our best, and we're gonna see what we can do and develop along the way. I want to know a couple of things. I want to know if you've got like a top three for dream interviews in all of the world currently alive.
Okay, sounds Peyton Manning.
Okay.
Probably not going to interest you too much. That'll be a Pajak and Manning podcast.
Who's Peyton Manning?
He was a quarter.
Is he better or worse than Tom Brady?
It depends. I mean, he's worse. Okay. Because he's got two rings as opposed to six.
Okay. But he's up there with Tom Brady as the best quarterbacks of all time.
Yeah, I think
so. Is he still playing?
No. Gone. Okay. So I'd badly want to interview somebody like him.
No, you do one.
Jürgen Klopp.
Jürgen Klopp. Cross your fingers and toes. Yeah.
A one-on-one with Jürgen Klopp.
double cross your fingers, toes and ears. We'll see.
How did you know my toes were crossed? They always are. Yeah,
sometimes they're not, and then they are. I've been thinking about this, and I've been drawing up lists for years on these things. I've had like people from all over different walks and disciplines in life, and somebody like I'd say one of the dream people would be Vince McMahon.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's loads of interesting people in the wrestling industry. Like, I've just started listening to Chris Jericho's podcast, which is really cool. He's just done one with Dustin Rhodes, who was Goldust. I love the called shoot interviews, and it's basically when wrestlers just go off book and just start telling all like the secrets behind the scenes and all that kind of stuff. I always find that fascinating. But Vince is the one, like the man who's just literally set wrestling up for better or for worse. And he's just, because you hear so many conflicting stories about him, so many people go, "What a massive knobhead," and then other people go, "He's an absolute genius." And everyone always says, like, they thank him profusely for all.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
All that he's good he's done, but then go, right, now that I've done all the thanking, oh my god, here's the list of shit. He sounds like the ultimate best worst boss of all time. He'd make you a fortune, but you would just have constant stories about how he is. So yeah, being able to pick Vince McMahon's brain would be genuinely one of the most interesting experiences, I think.
Conor McGregor for me.
Conor McGregor would be fascinating,
interesting. You know, because he's had such a mad life, hasn't he? Everyone knows about all his UFC stuff and, you know, boxing, and then moving on to that and the stuff that he's had with his wife and the alleged misdemeanors that he's had outside of his marriage and all that type of stuff. And so I think he'd be a really interesting one, and it'd be fucking hilarious because he's just an absolute crank.
I've been weighing this up recently because I've been listening to loads of old Oasis, and Noel Gallagher was always my musical hero. But I'm at a stage now where I don't know who I'd rather interview, because I never really liked Liam, because Liam was more, you know, he's just a bit brash, and they're both scowls, but he was obviously a bit more of it. Whereas the more and more I see it, I'm like, Liam Gallagher would be a fascinating interview, and I've seen plenty of really interesting interviews with him. I have been writing the opening questions to a Noel Gallagher interview for the last 20 years maybe, and it gets more, because what I've always wanted to know about from like the Gallagher brothers is, because I followed their career so intensely, particularly in the early days, I was a rabid Oasis collector, like finding random bootleg CDs. And there's a story how there was the Justice Court concert at Anfield, where like all the best bands of the 90s pretty much played Anfield, like the Manic Street Preachers, Dodgy, etc., etc. And I was going to buy a ticket, but instead bought the Japanese import single, for some might say, because it had two tracks on it. I didn't have Bad Call. Lesser known, because they're not on Spotify, but all the same. So I obsessed. But like, some of the opinions and stuff they've said down the years, I'd be fascinated to know like how they slated the drummer on the, like Tony McAllister, who was the original drummer. But in hindsight, he drummed on all the best songs. I'd love to know whether they still stand by all that kind of stuff. Like, and you know, to get beyond the fucking bullshit and bluster that they've always had over the years, because I think they've gotten used, they've become caricatures of themselves to some extent. I think it'd be interesting. Who else you got?
Mike Tyson's always
Tyson,
a fucking real interesting one. Again, I mean, I don't know what you're getting out of him, but you're probably getting fireworks out of him, aren't you? I think, you know, you'd need to do a lot of research. You know, I'd like to go back and watch all of his early fights and all that type of stuff, as of course you would. But he was the biggest name in sports in the world, and he was the absolute best in the world at what he did for a period of time. And he came into it in a mad era and stuff like that, when heavyweight boxing was the biggest fighting sport in the world and stuff. So, yeah, I think he'd be a really interesting interview.
An outside one? Edgar Wright is probably my favourite director, certainly one of my favourite directors. I'm obsessed with people who made Spaced, the series, when he was like 26, I think, which is astonishing to me. You know, when you see these people, and he's got such a great vision, I'd love to know his story behind how his version of Ant-Man never got off, you know, how Marvel let him go and all that kind of stuff. But they're the ones where you could tie in a conversation, like sitting him down with Simon Pegg,
mm-hmm.
would be massively fascinating. And actually, the last one's a couple of random ones, like Dave Grohl would give anything to have a proper sit down with him. And there's a random one from like a couple from the world of comics, Alan Moore, who created Watchmen and V for Vendetta. I've chatted to him, I randomly bumped into him when I was working in the tavern and had a 5-minute conversation with him, which was glorious. But he's a proper recluse and a hermit, and he doesn't do interviews, but he's like, he lives in Northampton and he basically never leaves Northampton. And it's like, I'd be prepared to doorstep him if I had to try and get it. But like an absolute genius. Because I remember he wrote, and I spoke to him about this, in the back of V for Vendetta, about his process and how he'd wake up some days and he'd write a script and it'd be done in 2 hours and he'd send it off to print and it'd be done. And other days he'd be working 15 hours, he'd have 100 drafts screwed up and chucked in the bin and he'd collapse in his chair and be like, I'm not good enough to do this. And you're like, if someone who is acclaimed as being the greatest of all time of writers has those days, like, how interesting. It's always that, because we see the veneer of people, don't we, and out, and like the persona,
you see the body of work that's been put out
and
there,
and the pedestal that they're on, and you never quite get to see. The bad days are always more interesting than the days when they go and claim all their accolades or whatever. Any more?
Bradley Wiggins.
Ooh. Not Armstrong.
Ooh.
Lance Armstrong.
Yeah, that would be a good shout. I think more from the British point of view, he's obviously the first Grand Tour winner as an Englishman, first winner of the Tour de France. Now, obviously, you've had all the drug stuff going on as well, quite interesting. How his relationship with Chris Froome was, seeing after how Chris Froome's sort of career went after that. Another guy I'd really love to interview, because I don't think... what's the show on Netflix? My next guest needs no introduction. Oh, who's the main interviewer on that?
I forget. Letterman.
Yeah. So he interviewed Lewis Hamilton,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't think it was a good interview, and I'd like to do an interview with Lewis Hamilton where they actually talk about him and his life. Because again, you know, the thing with Lewis Hamilton is he's the best in the world at what he does. He may go down as one of the greatest ever, maybe even go down as greater than Michael Schumacher and Ayrton Senna, and yet he's a massively polarising figure, which is, I find interesting, because all the people that we've spoken about, he's more like Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
In that so many people just hate him,
mm-hmm.
and there are a section of people that love him. Most of the time when you get to the top, like think of like Roger Federer or, you know, think of these Tiger Woods, people just love him, even though he's had his misdemeanors and stuff like that. Whereas Lewis Hamilton throughout his career has never been able to do that. Plus the fact that he was a black guy breaking into a white guy sport, first of all, when it started. Just a really interesting story.
Okay, well, right, we've got a little bit of time left. I want to do something. I've kind of developed this as we've been talking, so I apologize. You know, I love throwing wild cards in there. We've been talking about ideas that we're going to do for random content on the channel. We're going to do this in the elevator pitch format,
okay,
which is like 30 seconds, 45 seconds to pitch each other ideas for content.
Okay. We're going to pitch the viewers as well.
Sure.
Before we do that, I'm going to need a camera reposition and I'm going to need you to stand up with me.
Okay. Let's do that one last. Sad. Have you got any others in the meantime?
Stay
tuned for that, by the way.
I suppose first and foremost is something that I mentioned to you before we filmed, is so many times over the years people have asked us questions, and the question that comes up more than most is what would your dinner party be?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I kind of want to do a fucking dinner party, to be honest with you. Like a grey day, Kenny Dalglish, Jurgen Klopp, Rafa Benitez.
Sounds.
Dinner party where we'll cook them the dinner, we'll entertain them, just like come down with me. We're not even expected to go to their house, but they can vote if they want to vote, and they can give us £1,000 at the end of it if they want to give us £1,000 at the end of it. But genuinely, how many times have people said that to us?
Yeah.
Who's your dinner party?
Yeah.
Let's just fucking do the dinner party.
Yeah, let's.
Big time, let's just go for it. Let's get some fucking European Cup winners and have a dinner with them and a little bit of a scran. You can be the Turkish dancer and we'll be good to go.
Where's this Turkish dancer thing come from?
It came into my mind and now it's stuck there.
Okay, shat. Okay, cool. Can we do like the Greek dancer thing, just smash plates on the floor?
Oh, you know what I'm really good at? Hula hooping. We basically just get stuck on me.
You have got the hip. You have got the
hips. It just gets stuck there.
No, but you've got like it doesn't go round. Sneak hips, Paige.
I don't think so.
I bet
my mum, though. I tell you what.
Really?
She can actually hula hoop.
Brenda's a grade day hula hooper.
Like, honestly, mate, you just wouldn't believe it.
Fantastic. I know. I genuinely would.
She's amazing.
I genuinely would believe Brenda. Well, you know, she's a wag, isn't she? You've got to have those skills.
She was a wag.
She was indeed. Okay, the series is called Sound or Bellend. I pick the biggest bellends or perceived bellends in the world of the media, whatever, and you sit down and you ask them the question, are you sound or are you a bellend? And I want to know genuine, whether these human beings are, is it all a facade or are they genuine bellends? Some of the obvious topics for conversation or guests for conversation, Piers Morgan. Piers, are you a bellend or are you sound? Jeremy Clarkson. Jeremy, hi, welcome, sit down. I really want to know, are you a bellend or are you sound? Because I think these guys are probably massive bellends, but I just always interested to know whether they perceive themselves. You see it from people online and that, and it's their haters going to hate. People tend to hate people who are hate-worthy.
I like,
you know,
that. I like that as a show.
So, yeah. Bellend, whatever it was called, bellend or sound. Yeah.
That'll do. Okay. Chris and Paul strive to become professional wrestlers.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sound.
Just that's it.
That's it.
That's it.
That's all we need to do.
We need to know people
to know people who are in the wrestling industry. If you know anybody in the UK wrestling scene, then please do let us know their contact details. We're going to get them to train us up as professional wrestlers. Then we are going to produce a fight of the night caliber WrestleMania performance
for you
guys as content. Have that. I'm going to hold Machin over my head and throw him over the ropes.
I mean, that's absolutely not going to happen. But no, we've been back and forth on this for ages, and I genuinely love this. Is one of my favorite ideas that I think we've ever envisaged. Going to training, laying out, not just like a, you know, like we used to do in school, do it with moves. And ultimately, I when I see the Andy Kaufman stuff with Jerry Lawler from back in the day, it's in the Man in the Moon film with Jim Carrey, like being able to, I want to feud against the grizzled young veterans. I want to feud against Zach Gibson because he gives this country and he gives this city a bad name. We need some proper Scousers being represented. He's a fucking wall, and he needs us to go and basically get our heads kicked in by him. That would be genuinely amazing. No, I am 100% bang up for that. I would like to be shot out of a cannon. Paul and Chris circus.
I would like to shoot Paul out of a cannon.
Yeah. Yeah, probably not. So I don't have to go to monkey tennis straight off the back. Let me see what we got. Oh, yeah, here's one. The horrible clothing challenge.
What's that? Just dress as Bailey for a day.
Dress as Bailey for a day. We've noticed this because what's the website called?
Depop.
Depop. I wasn't aware of this, but you can buy some of the worst clothes known to men, and woman on there, in fact. And I like the idea of buying an item of clothing and having to wear it for a week solidly.
Okay.
It's not one of my better ideas.
Right, my pitch from here on in are pretty much all around the idea that Paul doesn't like to do certain things in his life.
We're going fishing.
I can't imagine that you'd enjoy Tough Mudder. Okay, we're doing a Tough Mudder, and we're going to have cameras on, and it's just going to be the two of us. There's no team. It's just me and you, and we can't have help from anybody else.
Right.
And some of these obstacles are incredibly difficult. As a veteran who needed a lot of help to get over some of these obstacles, I just think we may never leave the place.
Yeah.
Our GoPros will run out of batteries.
Yeah.
We will have to pay for somebody to go with us, Tom, to film it. But I do feel like us doing a Tough Mudder could be content gold.
I've got, okay. Shit Top Gear Challenge.
Yeah.
We've got to set a budget for, so it was inspired by that guy who bought a £40 car and took it to Madrid. Buy a £50 car, drive it to a open racetrack somewhere, and you've got to drive, and it's got to be able to get you back home as well. For a £50 budget.
So not only okay. So you've got to get to the race.
Win the race.
We've got to race.
Yeah.
Each other.
Yeah.
Not kill ourselves. Not kill the car, and then get home.
And then get home.
Well, can I see you and raise you?
Okay.
Right. You've got a £50 budget to buy your car. We're going old school with what we used to do when I was about 17, 18 years old, and you're going to have to race to the racetrack using A-roads. And maps, and you're allowed one person in your car to help you read the map. So the race is actually paused, and you take a time to get there. So it's in three parts, essentially. Okay. To the racetrack is one part of the race. The race itself is another part of the race, and then you've got to go home with the maps and the B roads and no sat navs and all that type of stuff. And of course, because we're sensible guys, you can't break the speed.
So first to win, get first to the racetrack, fastest at the racetrack, first home.
Yeah.
I like that. I really like the idea of that. okay. Paul and Chris, dance school.
Yeah, no, I'm in. I'm so much. I'm fine with that. Like,
we have to recreate an epic dance scene from
Torval and Dean, Paul.
Oh, well, like, yeah. Oh,
nice.
Sure, yeah. Do the bolero or whatever.
Who's lifting who here? I'm going to have to lift you.
I think you're a steadier base.
I'm going to have to lift you, but I've got no... Well, do you think you could land?
Yeah, I would land. Gravity says I'm landing.
On the skates?
No. I'm not coming back. I'm coming back with no fingers and thumbs.
See, I can skate. I skate.
Oh,
I
yeah.
can skate.
When was the last time you skated or I skate?
Ooh. Probably 2002, 2003.
Okay, yeah. So it's 17 like years since you've last ice skated.
Hey, mate. Skated. Listen.
You never forget.
It's like riding a bike.
It's not like riding a bike at all. Okay. The last
Paul
one.
Paul and Chris do a stage of the Tour de France.
Okay, yeah, sure. Yeah.
280 kilometres up mountains. I'm thinking Ventoux as the stage. Literally one of the hardest mountains in the Tour de France. I think that would be good. And the kicker for charity, of course.
Why not? I mean, nah. Forget that. We'll just do it for us. Last one. Movies greatest fights recreated, Matrix style. choreography.
Yes.
Yeah, with recreating in the best way possible the iconic fight scenes from movie history. I'm open to suggestions on that. I mean, some of it, you know, we're not going to...
We've done one CGI already, haven't we?
Have
to
we?
Be fair, yeah, we've done one of the Star Wars ones.
Oh, I mean, we make, yeah. Yeah, we'll talk a bit more about that in future videos. Yeah.
After I pulled it down from YouTube.
I want your elevator pitches to us. Tweet at the Paul Machen and at Mr. Blood Red. Elevator, if you can't fit your concept idea in one tweet, then it's getting thrown out immediately. And, you know, we'll save them. And in coming weeks, we'll choose some of the best and we'll read some of them out in future podcasts as well.
Oh, one more. Can we create great, iconic television scenes?
Yeah.
So... the one that I don't know why, I don't know why, there's a thing of paint over there that I can see just off camera. It's the royal family where they're decorating the dining room / living room. Do you remember? No,
never. Brilliant. Watched the royal family. Well, I watched it, but it was never my cup of tea. Karen.
Wow.
It's fine.
Shocking.
Yeah.
Genuinely shocked.
Yeah.
Genuinely shocked.
Northern.
I really am shocked. Yeah. What would you pick?
As a scene to recreate.
Yeah, like, oh, maybe like getting the couch down the stairs or up the stairs in Friends, whichever one it was.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
something just great scenes, yeah. Iconic scenes from television.
Yeah. I couldn't think, off the top of my head, I couldn't think. There's a scene in Knight Rider where he jumps on top of the car and has to climb from the top of the car inside the car. I'd probably die doing it, but I'd love to do that. I've been looking into classic TV cars. I'm looking to buy a new car, and I realised that I know what I want, and I know how much it costs. So now I know how much it costs. It's like, what else can you buy for that amount of money? And I realised I could buy the Knight Rider car, basically, for a very similar amount of money. And then it's
incognito mating again.
Yeah, what can you do? So yeah, there you go. Yes. Tweet us in your elevator pitches for MXP content, or you can do it in the comment section underneath this on the YouTube channel. Thank you very much for this.
Can I give you my elevator pitch now? The wide cam elevator pitch.
Oh, okay, yes, go on. So if you listen to this in the podcast, this is not going to make sense. You have to go over to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/C/MHXPage. Go on, what are we doing?
Just lift that camera up there.
Lift that camera up.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.